Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
But I'm Associate Pastor Brock, for those that don't know. Most of you probably would. But I'm excited to share with you this morning. I always love this opportunity. It's an incredible experience to be used by the Lord. It really is. I encourage you to participate in it sometime. When we come in tune with Him and have this moment where it could be revelation, and it doesn't always come in the form of a sermon. It can come in the form of action. It can come in the form of meeting a need. It could be in many great things, writing things down, and all those different things. It's just a wonderful experience to be in harmony with the Lord and the Spirit. And that's why I always love these opportunities to preach and to speak. So, but this morning I want to talk about the community of the church, the people, because we know that the church is the people, right? But then we formed these church buildings, and so now when you say the church, people, you know, you wonder, do they mean the people, the church, or do they mean the building, the church? And so you always got to, like, specify, you know? But I want to talk about the community of the church, so I'm being specific. So that's us, the people that make up the church, because it is a community, and it's made up of people. But the interesting thing about that is that all have fallen short and all have sinned, right? Now we're saved, we're justified, we have grace, we have mercy, we have that salvation. But how many of you lived a perfect life after salvation? Okay, nobody. Sweet, cool. We're all in the same boat, I guess. But, you know, there's this fleshly side that comes out. And being a part of the church is messy. It's messy. That's reality. I'm sure you didn't come here, well, if you did, you maybe went away for a little while and then came back or whatever it may be. But I'm sure you didn't come here expecting to find perfection. Now, we look at Jesus and we find perfection, and we look at God and we see He is perfect. He is good. So let's stop blaming Him for what people do. Let's get that out of the way. But let's recognize that is that people are not perfect. And you just admitted, haha, using it against you already, sorry. You just admitted that even the moment of salvation, you did not live perfectly. So do you expect that of others? No. It's messy. Part of being in the church is messy. The church is often compared to a hospital for the broken, right? Is it a hospital just for you when you're broken? Or is it a hospital for everybody when they're broken? Everybody. Now, here's where we get into the semantics of it. The church is a hospital for the broken. Do you mean church the building or church the people? Interesting. So when's the last time we helped a broken person? When's the last time we took someone in their brokenness and we were the hospital? We didn't just say, go to the building. Because here's the deal. We have hospitals, right? We have clinics. That, you know, we go there. Do you walk into the building, stay there for a little while, and walk out and you're brand new? No, the building does nothing. You go there and there's a person that does something, right? That's what happens, okay? So you can't just, hey, come to church. And they come to church and they sit there and then they leave. Don't worry, that's just my daughter. She doesn't like it when I yell. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But see, you come and there's a person there, a doctor, a nurse, a whatever, and they help with the problem. So we, proclaiming the church is a hospital for the broken, what are we doing to address the wounds of people? And guess what? You don't have to be perfect to address the wounds of someone else. You don't have to be. Because if that was the case, we'd all kind of stay stuck. And in the equation that Scripture has so clearly given us is by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. We can't do anything about that one. That's all Him. That's all Him. Okay? And the word of our testimony. Well, if we waited till we were perfect to do that part, the equation is incomplete. And it doesn't take away the power of the blood of the Lamb. No. That's not what I'm saying. But there's parts that go with this. To be saved, that's what we need. But when it comes after salvation, what we do is it's called discipleship. And what is discipleship? An ongoing teaching relationship. And that is where much of the healing, much of the restoration, much of the sanctification comes in. But what that takes is one another. Now, here's the deal. When we look at this, and there's things that go on, and there's messy things. You've seen it. Your brother or sister in Christ has sinned. Or they're making a decision in life that... Well, what are we doing with that? In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to be jumping around a lot today. I got a lot of different scripture verses, just so you know. So you might want to write them down if I go too fast, or watch the recording later on our YouTuber website. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, here we go, verse 20. This verse is the mess. It's the mess. Now, how do we live in the church and we can witness a mess, but we don't get caught in the mess? Right? Now, here's the deal. When you hear that, I think you think about when two people sin together, whatever it may be. Your mind might go straight to one place. That's fine if that's the example. Okay? But when two people mess up, and somebody got caught in somebody else's sin, or this is going on, I want you to know that mess, you know, somebody got caught. But there's another way that we get caught in the mess, that we ourselves get caught in the mess. And it's by our own volition. Yes, they stumbled, they did this, they did that. But here we go. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. That's the mess. It's not always we get caught in sin with someone. But when we see the sin, we get caught in the mess by committing our own sin in slander and in gossip. That is the enemy to being the hospital for the broken. Because Scripture is clear on, you know, because I have a bunch of scriptures already. I didn't write down a scripture verse for each one of these, but there are references for this, and if you want them, you can come talk to me afterwards, but it would have been a lot. But what we should be doing, love one another, serve one another, be kind to one another, fellowship, be hospitable, confess our sins, and pray for one another, not gossip, and encourage one another. And there's plenty of other things that we are to do as believers in the community of the church. But when we witness the mess and we see it, and then we start chatting, start talking about it. But it's just for information. It's just to warn somebody. It's because I'm protecting. No. None of that is justified by Scripture. That is justified by the world. And the more that the world creeps into your Christianity, the more you are worthless to the kingdom. That sounds harsh, does it? I understand. But let's look at James. Chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. So see, it wasn't just me saying that. Scripture is clear on the power of the tongue. Think about it. God spoke the world into motion, creation. He spoke. From the tongue, life and death. Overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why you deceive yourself. You might think, well, I'm saying it, I'm gonna talk about it, so that way the sin can be controlled. So we talk about it to make sure nobody does it, make sure that the sin stops, make sure that it. I'm helping, I'm holding accountable, I'm doing these things. Proverbs 10. When words are many, transgression, or depending on your version, sin, is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So no. Our excuse of, I'm trying to keep sin from progressing, so I want to talk about this and make sure people know, and make sure my kids know, make sure my husband knows, make sure my sister knows, make sure my friend knows. No. You are perpetuating the sin. There is no excuse. There is, if you're looking, well then when can I talk about it? You don't. If you go into Scripture, there is a place in Scripture that discusses within the community of the church how to handle when a brother or sister sins. Go there and read that. And none of it has to do with telling somebody else. Up until a certain point, you talk to the church leaders and so on and so forth, if you know the process. But none of it has to do with gossip and slander. None of it has to do with, oh, I got to warn so-and-so. Let's get the tea ready. Mind your business. Exodus 23:1. You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. It's talking about on trial. It's talking about being a witness. It's talking about somebody did something wrong, and now we need to talk about what's been done. Most of the time you're, well, my gossip and slander is only facts. One, I don't believe you. Two, it doesn't mean you should be saying it. There's still no excuse. In joining in the spreading of this, it is a malicious report. You wonder why in the New Testament, gossip and murder are in the same cupboard. It's not physical murder, but you're murdering somebody's character. You know what else you're doing? You're murdering the testimony of God. I don't care what you say, but I'm standing against sin. There's this going on. No, you are murdering the testimony of God. John 13, verse 35. We'll start in 34, sorry. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want to tie this into Romans 15. Verses 5 through 7. Sorry, I put my sticky note right over the verses I needed. I guess I won't miss it then. Okay. 15:5-7. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. These two verses go hand in hand because in Christ's acceptance of us, he loved us. We know that. It's Scripture. I don't have to break down that equation. He loved us. And if we are to love one another the way Christ loved us, we would accept each other in our sin. It does not mean we want to perpetuate and we want you to keep living in sin and there is a time to iron sharpens iron and there's this and that. None of that has to do with slander and gossip, though. None of that has to do with you telling your neighbor about so-and-so did. That's not iron sharpens iron. That's murder. That's our voice. And if you read it, it says, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One voice. The moment we start speaking out in our own voice, now there's division. And there's two going on. And division follows the person who slanders and gossips. And that's not what the community is about. But like I said, it murders the testimony of God, because they will know God and his love by the way we love one another. But if I am slandering, if I am gossiping, am I murdering? Then how is that love? And when we do that and the world hears it, what's going on over at that church? You are hurting the kingdom of God. You are grieving the kingdom of God. You are perpetuating the enemy. See, it's that time of year again where I get really aggro about spiritual warfare. And we don't need to get into all that and blah, 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 and for the kids and candy and whatever. I don't care. But what I'm talking about is the spiritual war that we are fighting, a lot of times it doesn't always come in the form of demonic and all these different scary things that we think about sometimes. Sometimes it comes in the form of you just can't keep your mouth closed. Somebody said it. I didn't. That's more demonic activity than just about. That's how he gets in and does all the. Community of the church is to love one another. So we're just supposed to let sin go and do this? No. But since when are you able to justify sins? No, that's only one. Now, there's a lot of detail to this about accountability. And like I said, iron sharpens iron, and relationship with one another. And if you need to be clear on that, like I said, go to the place in Scripture that talks about how to handle these things and how you go to them first and so on. And if nothing changes, then you go. And it takes us step by step on what we are to do. But what I want to focus on this morning is making sure that we are getting to the root of this. And the instruction of what we are to do is clear in Scripture, and what we are not to do is this gossip and slander. That hurts the community of the church more than anything. Because that is sinful. It's when you think about it, it's so weird. You want to stop sin, and sin is bothering you so much that you go and sin and keep sinning. And but hey, we're humans. We're not smart, right? We're all, like I said, we all fall short. We're not God. But we get so easily ensnared in this trap. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, and that it may give grace to those who hear. That it may give grace to those who hear. In our slander and our gossip, it doesn't give grace, it gives judgment. And Scripture talks about when we sit upon the law and we are in judgment of others, it's not right. It's not right. But instead, we are to talk in a way that builds up and encourages. That fits the occasion, and that gives grace. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And he forgave all sins. All. The one that upsets you and bothers you a lot and triggers you, no, that was still forgiven. The one that just infuriates you so much that I'm justified, forgiven. Trust me, personal testimony. I struggled with forgiveness. I struggled with forgiveness over the course of my life. The people that would bash and gossip about my father and my mother and my family. You know how long it took me to let that stuff go? How badly I wanted retribution. It took me a very long time to forgive. And I know, pastor, what in the world? You're supposed to... I know, scripture says we're going to be held to a higher standard someday and this and that and all this stuff, but I'm a human being. You know, and I'm sharing my testimony with you. Have I since forgiven most, if not all, of those people? Off the top of my head, I've forgiven all. But if there's somewhere deep down inside where I haven't forgiven somebody, I'm still working through it. But I'm pretty sure I've forgiven all. I'm being honest with you this morning. I didn't write their names down in a book. Well, I burned the book. But, no, I'm just kidding. Some of those prayers, right? No. I'm joking. But part of it, too, was, you know, you think of scripture, revenge will be the Lord's. That's his job, not mine. And I remembered when there was a certain situation that happened where I got protective over some of my flock when I was a youth pastor because somebody wronged them. And I was struggling with not going and talking to the person. But I verified with boss first. And I don't just mean the Lord. I mean my earthly boss. Because I'm pretty sure I could find scripture verses that would fit me going down there. Turn my shovel into a sword kind of thing. No. Talked to boss and he said, you know what, Brock? Scripture's clear. You just wait and the Lord will show who has his favor. And I took that and put it in my pocket. And at first I wanted to take it and just put it on the shelf. But then I remembered Proverbs saying, you know, heed the warning of your father and mother and all that stuff. Scripture just gets you sometimes. It puts you in a corner and there's no way out. And I put it in my pocket and I remembered. And I just decided, you know, after quite some battle, one of those days where you just drive around in your vehicle for a while because you got to think. And I remember, and I just let it go. And I had to do that multiple times over my life. I had to remember that teaching, and I had to remember that, and to let things go, and to pay attention. And it's like that quote, you know, when you let go of things like that, when you let somebody free of what you're holding on to, come to find out you were the prisoner the whole time, right? In our bitterness and unforgiveness. See, because gossip and slander come from, usually we gave an opening to the enemy. And gossip and slander comes from a place of arrogance sometimes. So-and-so did this, can you believe that? But a lot of times that reaction comes from inferiority. Anytime we feel inferior as humans, our response usually is to, that's dumb. And we come up with something to say about it, or, you know, then we got to run and tell our group of friends so that they all say, oh my word, you're so right. Oh my word. And then we got to make, you know, they used to call it subtweeting. I don't know what they call it now. But then we got to run to social media and make a post that's about it, but not directly about it. So then they just have to wonder. And then everybody likes it. And it's like, see, I'm supported in what I'm thinking. Do you see the sickness of demons in your life? Good golly. Oh, my goodness. This is the community of the church. That I may come to find you not as I wish to. That verse that I started with. That I may come find you not as I wish to. Because we're stuck in all of this. That it is messy being part of the church. But how much we perpetuate and get caught in the mess is on us. So mind your business. If it doesn't involve you, stay out of it. If it does involve you, find the right way to handle it. And it's not run to my best friend and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're breaking down the church. You are. You're breaking down the church. You know, when people see somebody that goes to church sin or they find out about it, most of the time the way that they found out about it was because somebody in the church is a gossip. And then it's, well, I ain't never coming to church. And then you go to them and try to be a witness? What? What? That's why your religion is worthless. But in how I love that person that fell short, how I love them, that will be the testimony to that unsafe person. More than me looking righteous and saying, look at what they did. And I really want to make this clear. There is zero excuse. There is no exemption. There is no, well, in my situation, no. I want to make this clear. And can we as a people, as not just Christians, but humans on earth, stop with the whole, well, you know, that's the way that I am. So, can we stop? No, my goodness. The amount of times that we get diagnosed with something or it's this and that, and we use it for an excuse for the rest of our life, as is, this is the way I am. I took an Enneagram. And I'm this type. Okay, stop with your Christian horoscope, okay? Throw it out and pay attention to who God says you are. And the fact that you can be transformed, that your mind can be renewed, and that you can become a different person. That's a fact, okay? So please stop with, well, I'm a mom, so I gotta protect my kids. Protect them by showing them how not to live? Somebody else did something wrong? Teach them that it's wrong. Doesn't mean, that means I get to go and I get to do, and then you're completely ruining your testimony. You're ruining the church. The people that you sit next to, the place that you attend every Sunday, and I'm not just talking about the building, I'm talking about the people, Christianity, God. You are offending him. You are ruining it. Stop. There's no excuse. There is no, this is the way that I am. Yes, you are human, and that's okay. We're going to fall short. We're going to sin, absolutely. But we do not go on sinning that grace may abound. We don't think, well, I'll do this now because we're taking communion next Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what. The next minute of your life is not promised. So let's bank on tomorrow, yeah. I'll tell you what that does. It leaves you with a pile of wood in your yard, and you're not ready for winter. Sorry, that was personal. I just want to be clear, though. There's some blame on the weather forecast. Let's just put it that way. Because who projects a warm day in October, and then it rains all day long, okay? No, sorry. Let go of the bitterness and forgive. Forgive an inanimate object called an app. I don't know. But, well, inanimate for how long? AI. Anyway, sorry. We're getting off topic. But that's what it does. Procrastinate. We deceive ourselves into thinking we are more holy than we are. And like I said, it comes from many different places. Inferiority, trying to feel better about ourselves, trying to, all this stuff. Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Pause. Those who weep, go tell your neighbor. No. Somebody's hurt, somebody's broken, somebody had a falling through. You go be with them. Now, here's the deal. We do need to put a disclaimer. Okay? Not in every situation should you specifically go be with someone. Because if their sin had to do with something that you are, let's just put it plainly. If it's a guy who had a sin issue over lust and women, no, you as a woman should not go and be with him, okay? Do we understand? There are disclaimers to this situation. But in situations in which there is a relationship to be had, as far as brotherly, iron sharpens iron, see, this is where that verse actually comes in. When it's appropriate and it doesn't open the door to more sin and there's not going to be a stumbling block and so on and so forth, then it is to go be with them, weep with them. And like I said, it comes from a place of inferiority sometimes because somebody did something great or you see something and you got to go talk about this and that. And no, rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. Those who rejoice, rejoice with them. Those who weep, weep with them. This is a perfect example of a ministry called the Ministry of Presence. No, not Christmas presents. Presence as in, I don't know what to say, but I'm here. Hospital visits have always been awkward for me. One, I don't like hospitals. I like the church hospital. You know, okay, just to be clear, the church being a hospital for the broken, I like that. I don't like actual hospitals, okay? They just, yeah. Anyway, weird feeling. But, you know, and you go meet with somebody in the room. And I love doing it. It's just, sometimes it's awkward, okay? Now, if you've been in the hospital and I went and met you, don't take this personally. It has nothing to do with you. It's me, not you, okay? But you go there, and I'll be honest, depending on the situation, sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Yeah, you want to pray for him. You want to be there for him. But it's like, you know, and me, well, let's crack some jokes. Well, that's not always appropriate in a hospital, depending on why they're there. Stop making me laugh, my stitches. No, I'm just kidding. Like, you know, it just depends, right? It depends. And so, you know, you just, but it's the ministry of presence. Some of you heard the testimony about when I was at home. This was back when I was living at home. And I can't remember what holiday or family get-together it was or this or that. My dad gets a call. We got to go to somebody's house. There's ambulances there, you know, this and that. We get a call. And it's pouring rain. And I'm like, well, I'm going with you. You know, had to partially do with who the person was, but also because, well, I'm a pastor at the church too. Like, I live in the same house as you. What is my excuse? He showed up. He didn't. What's going on? Okay, so I was like, I got to go. I got to go with you. And so I went with him. We're in the truck. And he's like, you know, and I'm thinking, this is my first time in this situation. we're rolling up to a house where there's going to be ambulances, somebody who's at the time was incapacitated, and there's family there, and obviously kind of chaotic situation. And I'm rolling through my head like, if you know the answer, good for you, okay? I didn't, all right? I was just, So I'm like, hey, yo, boss. No, I'm just kidding. I probably said dad. But I was like, so what do we do? what are we doing? Like, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't go. I'm just saying, what are we doing? What do we do? I'm not an EMT, you know? And there was some practical advice like, well, don't get in the EMT's way. Like, you know, don't get in the way of anything. Be the side, be with the family. But he said, you know, Brock, you just show up and you love people. You've heard me tell that story before. I've told it a lot because it's the secret to ministry and it's the secret to the ministry of presence is I'm showing up. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I'm here. And if you're weeping, I'll weep. If you're rejoicing, I'll rejoice and bring a cake or a pie. I don't know. Maybe you like pie more. Just let me know. But see, this is the way that the community of the church should be. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Later in that verse, it talks about, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will pray, repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Sorry. It's therapeutic, I promise. No, I'm just kidding. Do not be overcome by evil. Oh, see, that's why you finish reading before you imagine. Okay, sorry. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Like I said, there's no excuse. There's no example in which gossip and slander, the murdering of someone else, is right. And it has no room in the church. It doesn't just cause damage to the person you gossiped about. It doesn't. It causes damage to the whole kingdom. And there's no motive behind it that gives us excuse. But whatever motive you have, I encourage you to find a place in Scripture that tells you. Like I said, my motive was revenge. I wanted a literal burning. Okay, never mind. That was the motive. But then you go to the place in Scripture that tells you, that's not yours. That's not yours. And it was forgiven. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. We are to love one another, and in that, we are to cover one another's offenses. It's the wonderful thing on the staff that I serve on. And it's not like we get in trouble a lot. that was an interesting way to start that off. But the conversations between me, our kids director, Rachel, and youth pastor, Isaac, and we would, you know, talk to one another. And in times where something may go awry or something was left out or something was this, we cover one another. And it's not we lie to our boss and say, oh, I don't know who did it. No, 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 that's not what I mean. You come in after a kids event and they forgot this or that or the other. Oh, I'll take care of that. That's what we do. I don't run to pastor and say, you know what? Kids ministry, they don't clean up after themselves. You need to have a talk. No. I'll cover for you. Because we love one another. Youth ministry? You left the ping pong table out. We got homeschool co-op this morning. What's going on? Hey, let's take care of it. What's the point of talking about it? He's still in bed. No, I'm just kidding. All right. He ain't coming to fix it. No, I'm just kidding. You hit the pause on the live stream, right? He's not going to see that later. No, I'm just kidding. He's at youth convention. We're good. No, I'm joking, but we cover an offense, and those are minor things. Those are little things, but it's an example of when somebody does something wrong. I'm going to pick up the slack because I'd rather that than separate close friends and how we love one another and how the community of the church is supposed to be. And there's a plethora of things, and this sermon could go on for forever. Well, and to be honest, the Packers are kind of trash, so I'm sure you don't mind staying here, so. Sorry, okay. All those years that they were good, it's fine. It's 1 year. The Bucks got Dame Lillard. You're fine. Okay. I'm joking. I won't make it go on longer than it needs to. But in how the church should be, there's lots of aspects to it. But one of the greatest weapons of the enemy, and no, it shall not prosper, so quit helping it. In the end, it shall not prosper. Correct. In the end, there's no victory for the enemy. But while we're here on this earth, you continue to perpetuate and wield the weapon of the enemy. And that's all of us. So catch yourself. I had to catch myself the other day, sitting with my wife, and I said, you know what, we got to stop talking about this. It's turning into gossip. Of course, that's right when Pharaoh threw a dirty diaper, and no, I'm just kidding. That was the day before that, and my wife thought it'd be funny not to warn me, and when I came out of the bathroom, I almost stepped. Okay, so I'm sure I could make a parallel there with gossip, but we don't need to do that. Okay. How the church and the community should be. The community of the church loving one another, covering an offense, forgiving, and it ain't my job to perpetuate the story. And when others partake, I remove myself. Scripture says to remove ourselves from those who cause division. Don't partake, because as you said earlier, since you experienced salvation, you haven't been perfect. So truth of the matter is, don't participate, because someday it'll be your turn to be talked about. And we reap what we sow. That's not a fear thing. That's just to heed the Father's warning. So if you would, stand on up with me. We'll close in prayer. But just before we close, before we pray, I want you to just really focus. Focus your nen. No, I'm just kidding. Focus in on, before we pray, I want you to not just hear me pray and we're getting out of here, getting the kids, getting lunch, getting it. No, focus on the moment. There's somebody that you need to go apologize to. There's somebody you need to go apologize to. for your slander and your gossip. Something you said. Don't let that moment go by. Hold on to that and apologize. Here's the thing, they might not even know, but you do. And you need to go apologize. So as I pray, I'm going to pray the Lord would put those people on our heart.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.